This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. When a father is teaching their children about Allah, you might wonder, where do I start and where do I end? How do I begin to explain to this child the Almighty, the one whom the minds are not able to grasp, the one whom I call in the darkness of the night, the one I hope for in the day? How do I teach and in what order do I teach this child about Allah? The Surah Luqman in the Quran, Luqman alayhi salam begins to teach his child about Allah. And the first thing he teaches his child is that Allah is one and that there should be no equal to him. And he says, "Inna shirka la dhulmun azim." It is extremely wrong, immoral, incorrect to make an equal to Allah. But then he adds a second point. Ya bunayya innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardal. My dear son, if there ever is a mustard seed, the tiniest seed you can imagine, فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ. Imagine if this seed was hidden inside a large boulder, a large rock. أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Or if this tiny seed was hidden somewhere in this universe, anywhere, deep into the earth, buried underground, or somewhere in the sky, somewhere on another planet. Imagine this tiny mustard seed, was hidden, buried, beyond human perception. يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهُ. It doesn't matter where it is, my son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where it is. And not just that, Allah will bring it forth on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, my son, Allah is very subtle in His ways, and He is all aware of what we do. Those are the second pair of names that Luqman teaches his son. That is the two names we are going to take today. Allah, Al-Latif, Al-Khabir. What does Latif mean in the Arabic language? Anybody want to tell me? Anybody want to tell me? What does Al-Latif mean in the Arabic language? Yes. Lenient. Okay. Anybody else? Any other ideas? Yes. Subtle. Okay. That's the English translation you will find in the video, in the name on YouTube. And that is the English translation you will find in most Quran translations. Al-Latif, they say the subtle. The subtle in English means something that you can't detect easily. Something you can't see easily. It's a bit hidden. It's not obvious. That's what subtle means. Any others? Any other ideas? Latif in Arabic comes from the root letters la tafa or latufa. Latafa in Arabic is rifq, to be gentle. To be gentle and kind to someone or something. So when you go out to the masjid and you see a cat on the street and you gently caress the head of this cat, you are being latif. You're so lovingly gentle with this cat. Yes? This is latafa. The other root word for latif is latufa, which is something that's really small, like microscopic. You know, sometimes you're eating food, let's say you're eating rice, biryani. There's something very dangerous but very latif in biryani, is the ginger. Sometimes, you know, the chef doesn't chop the ginger finely enough. They leave big pieces of ginger in the biryani. So you think it's potato. You put it in your mouth and you realize it was latif. It was very small. It was not detectable. You didn't see it when you put the spoon of rice in your mouth. But once you tasted it, you knew that's not potato, Habibi. That is something else. And your mouth is burning for the next 30 minutes. This is latif. Something small, you can't detect it. You can't see it. So latif has two meanings in Arabic. Kindness that you do in a gentle way, nice way, a soft way. And something, the other meaning, something so small, so fine, that you can't even detect it. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His name, Al-Latif, the scholars have such a beautiful way of summarizing the meanings of this name. They say, Al-Latif, هُوَ الَّذِي يُوصِلُ الرِّفْقَ وَالْإِحْسَانِ بِسُبُلٍ خَفِيَّةٍ. Al-Latif is the name of Allah, which means He is the one. He shows His gentleness and His love to you in ways that are hidden. You don't even realize it. فَكَمْ مِن نِعْمَةٍ أو فَكَمْ مِن نِقْمَةٍ فِي طَيَّاتِهَا نِعْمَةٍ. How often Allah sends us a calamity, but it's actually a hidden blessing. وَكَمْ مِنْ مِحْنَةٍ قُلِبَتْ مِنْحَ. And how often Allah gives us a difficulty and a pain, but in reality, we realize later on, it was actually a benefit and a blessing to us. This is Allah's name, Al-Latif. And this is very relevant for what we are seeing today at the moment, with the earthquakes that are being experienced in Syria and Turkey. You know, young children, young men, young women, Muslims might ask the question, anybody can ask the question, why did Allah send the earthquake to a place so densely populated by Muslims? Why not any other place? Because we understand Allah's actions, earthquake equals punishment. So whoever was there, Allah wanted to punish them. These are all these people there who are refugees from Syria. These people who have already been through an immigration crisis. They lost their homes in the civil war and now they're dead in the earthquake. We have to start to understand Al-Latif. Allah's name Al-Latif teaches us to understand and to interpret Allah's actions in a different way. To stop thinking we understand what Allah is trying to do here. One of the prime examples of this name Al-Latif in the real life of one of the prophets is the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, he goes through so many difficult moments in his life. The darkness of the well, the slave market of Egypt, the noisy, crowded slave market of Egypt, the unknown territory that he went through, the plotting and the planning of women against him in the palace, the darkness of the prison with people he didn't know, alone, away from his family for almost a decade. And then the test of power after that, and the test of being the minister of, in years of hunger and drought, a lot of pressure on him. He went through so many things in his life. But the worst part of all for Yusuf alayhi salam is his distance from his father and his family. All that time he's far from them. And he can look at these events and interpret them in a negative way. You know, today we have a trend where people like to play victim to the tests Allah puts them through. So their whole identity is, I'm a victim. So Methelan, let's say as a child, they lived in had a difficult situation. Their parents didn't get along. They'll say, I'm from a broken home. So then they start to internalize this idea that I'm from a broken home. I have been through trauma. I have been through bad experiences. Therefore, it's a bit of an excuse for me to act negatively as well. They give themselves an excuse because of the bad situations they have been through. Yusuf alayhi salam, at the end of his life, when his parents come to him and he stands there in Egypt and his dream comes true, he says, Allah mentions in the end of Surah Yusuf, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He raised his parents to the throne. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And they all fell in prostration to him. وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَاهِ And he said, my parents, this is my dream come true. قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا My Lord, Rabbi, made it come true. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ And my Lord was so gentle, so kind to me when he took me out of prison. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي And he brought, Allah brought you here from the middle of the desert after the shaitan created a distance between me and my brothers. And then he concludes, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ My Lord is so subtle and gentle in the way He does things. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ He is the all-knowing and the all-wise. When he says this sentence, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ You know, one thing all of us should do as a homework. When you read Surah Yusuf, look at the names of Allah in Surah Yusuf. And look at how Yusuf alayhi salam uses the names of Allah. This is the end of his life, and in this one sentence, this final statement, how many names of Allah he uses? Inna Rabbi Latifun Lima Yasha. Innahu huwa al-adim al-hakim. Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk. Wa allamtani min ta'wil al-hadith. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard. Anta waliyi fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Tawaffani musliman wal-haqani bil-salihin. Seven names of Allah in one dua. One statement he makes to Allah, seven names of Allah. All playing together. This is a man who knows Allah really well. And he knows how to use his names really well. And he knows what they mean and how they are different to each other. How is it that after mentioning all of the bad things that happens in his life, he says Allah is Latif? Didn't we say Latif is someone, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gentle and kind. How is it that he's mentioning bad things that happened to him? How is this an indication that Allah is Latif? He's talking about prison, and he's talking about the well, and he's talking about the difficulty he had with his brothers, and he's saying Allah is Latif. Allah is gentle and kind and subtle in his ways. Yeah. Okay. By making Yusuf alayhi salam go through all of that, in the end he makes him unite with his family. Okay? Anybody else? Yes.
The other meaning of that.
Mm.
Since this we don't understand at the time we can't
yeah.
Without seeing the end result. So that means he is subtle.
Mashallah. Good. Naam Sheikh.
And the other thing, وَجَاءَ بِكُمْ نَلْبَدْ came from this place that were more civilized, more relaxed, way of life. All of that happened in a way that we and all of them we cannot imagine or think.
Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Al-Latif in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam is because whatever Yusuf alayhi salam reaches to in the end, it happens in a way he could never imagine. Allah is Latif means when Allah plans, you don't realize how He's planning. Did the brothers think that they would go to get their food from the Minister of Agriculture and they would find their brother? Did Yusuf alayhi salam imagine that one day he would be in this level of power in Egypt? Did he think that the prison would be a means to power? He would never have imagined it. Allah al-Latif, He gives you sometimes things you hate, things you despise, things you struggle with. But when He turned the coin on the other side, there's something beautiful at the other end you did not realize. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Then it may be that you may hate a thing, but it might be good for you in the end. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows, but you don't know. Think about a child now under the rubble in Syria. Under the rubble, the destruction, no house, no electricity. Where is the silver lining in this cloud? Where is the light in this tunnel? Where is the wisdom in this nightmare? One may ask, one may feel this way. And you don't know that when we see things, as they say, the scholars say, we only have one pixel, but Allah has the full picture. When we see things, we see things with tunnel vision. We only see this much. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all and hears all. That's why Latif is always paired with the name Al-Khabir, the one who is all aware of things that are hidden. Al-Khabir comes from the word khabar, to be informed about something. Now, you are only informed of something if it's not obvious. You've heard of the word informant, yes? Al-Mukhabarat. Right? There are people who are paid for, hired by the governments to go and spy on people and come and tell them the secrets that are going on. Those kind of informations, the secrets that nobody knows, that you have to send a spy and pay them to get, those akhbar, those secret hidden rumors, those secret hidden news, Allah knows it all. That is what Al-Khabir. And so, Al-Latiful Khabir is the one who knows the hidden. And he knows that you may see something apparently as a mistake, as an evil, as a crime, as a difficulty, but you don't realize that really there is something good on the other side. Think of the man who owned a ship and he got a customer called Khidr. And he told this customer, come on board my ship, we'll take you for a spin. And this guy Khidr came and he sunk the boat. Musiba. Yet another Musiba. Ship owner, imagine one day, did he ever imagine that the sinking of his ship would save his ship? Because his ship would sink. There is a king who was taking and seizing people's wealth and their ships and their vehicles. And because that one had a hole, he would just leave it. Did he ever imagine when he got this nasty customer, that actually this nasty customer would actually save him later on? Did the parents whose son was killed in the story of Khidr and Musa alayhi salam, did they ever imagine that the death of their son would be better for them than his life? Did they ever imagine? How many a musibah, how many a difficulty, how often a calamity comes to us, but instead inside it is hidden a reward, a blessing, a wisdom, but we cannot understand and grasp it at that very moment. Al-Latiful Khabir teaches us to be patient. He teaches us to interpret events, the difficult events, in the best possible way. In hope, not in fear. In having a good opinion of Allah, husnul dhann billah. That when we see something negative happening, something bad happening, for us not to rush and race and associate negative things with Allah. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. When he speaks about Allah, look at his manners when he talks about Allah. When he talks about something good, he attributes it to Allah. He says, Allah took me out of prison. And he says, Allah brought my parents out of the desert. And Allah gave me all of this wealth and kingdom. But when he talks about something negative, the animosity, the hatred between him and his brothers, who does he attribute it to? Shaitan. We know everything is done by Allah. Shaitan is not separately doing things without Allah's permission. But it's from adab, from manners, and from a correct understanding of Allah to know Allah never intends pure evil. There's no such thing. Good and evil are subjective. You might see from your eyes something evil, but from someone else's eyes it's something good. From your eyes you watched the FIFA World Cup. You thought, wow, mashallah, so much fun for me to watch from my television screen. But maybe for the 300 and something laborers that died building the stadium, it was a musibah, it was an evil for them. Nothing is purely good, and nothing is purely evil. No event is purely good or purely evil. Everything has a good side and everything has a negative side. But Allah is the only one who knows the true reality of these events. And this is why Al-Latif, knowing Allah's name, Al-Latiful Khabir, we internalize the meaning of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. We learn how to deal with difficulty. Your parent died in COVID. You went under debt, financial difficulty. You lost your job in this economic recession. You lost your house. You didn't look up at the sky and scream, why me, oh Allah? You know, one time I went to a job interview. And I was with somebody else. I'm just going to give you an example. What happens to us when we don't realize Allah is Al-Latif? And that sometimes He gives us difficulty. He gives us a gift wrapped in a difficulty. I went for a job interview. And I was with somebody else. And we were on the train together. We reached the place for the job interview. And he was walking behind me. I was walking in front of him. And, you know, double doors. I went in the building and the door shut behind me. And he got stuck outside. The doors were locked. They didn't open. And he's standing. And then it starts raining. And he gets soaked. His suit gets soaked. And then he doesn't know what to do now. And then the receptionist comes and opens the door and he's standing there dripping outside. All of his presentation notes, his laptop is all soaked. The laptop's not turning on, the notes are all ripped. He's standing there, he's thinking, why did this happen to me? And he says it to me, why is God doing this to me? Of course, this gentleman was not a Muslim, so I couldn't tell him Allah is Latifun Khabir, my brother. I didn't know, does he believe in Allah or not? I said, I'm sure there's always a silver lining behind the cloud. He said, I can't really see it at the moment. I said, don't worry, my friend. Don't worry. So what happened? The interviewers didn't even interview him. He came in, dripping wet, and he gave his presentation with no notes and no PowerPoint. They said, look at this guy, soaking wet. Look at the bravery. Look at the patience. From his memory, he gave a presentation. Hire him on the spot. I had to wait 14 working days to get my response. He got hired before he left the building. فَكَمْ مِنْ مِحْنَةٍ قُلِبَتْ مِنْهَا. How often a difficulty is, you know, we have a gift wrapped in a difficulty. And how often we interpret an event negatively, but Allah is hiding a blessing inside. But we have to be patient. Going through life is like digging through a mine. You got a pickaxe. You know there's a jewel, a diamond, worth millions of pounds somewhere inside. But to get to the diamond, you've got to dig through and you've got black soot all over your face and hands and you might get stuck in the mine for a few months. But when you see the jewel and the diamond in the end, it's all worth it. Al-Latif teaches you sabr. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We will definitely test you with fear and with hunger. وَنَقْصِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And you will lose wealth, sustenance, food. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But congratulations to those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. When a calamity strikes them, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. They said, we belong to Allah. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we are going back to Him. Those who return calamity by saying, يَا لَطِيفُ, O Allah, I don't know what's inside this present. And when am I going to find the diamond? But I'm going to keep digging day after day until I find it. Al-Latif teaches you to be tolerant with other people. Because every time you look at someone and they were late to a meeting, or they didn't reply to your message, or they gave you a hard time, you don't know what they are going through. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by definition, Al-Latif, He has ways you can never realize. You don't realize what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really planning for you. And how many other people are having that in their lives? So you start to feel a bit of mercy towards them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, last week, our name we took was Ar-Razzaq. And Allah pairs this name Al-Latif with Rizq in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura, Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi. Allah is subtle and gentle with His slaves. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He provides for whoever He wishes. وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزِ And He is the mighty and the dominant. What does Allah's lutf have to do with rizq? What does Allah's lutf have to do with rizq? What's the connection between these two things? If someone other than these two boys can answer me, we can have a good day today, inshallah. We can have some diversity of opinion from the audience. Yes. What does latif have to do with rizq? Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Mawlid is here. Yes. He's back. Today's special day for participation. Yes, Habibi. Yes, go ahead. Okay, he's saying Allah has to be latif to provide, because if He is not gentle and kind, then how is He going to provide? Good. Beautiful, correct. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. Another ayah of the Quran, Allah tells us, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ If Allah expanded the rizq, the provision for some of His slaves, they may have used it for wrongdoing. So sometimes Allah taking away from you is good for you. This is Allah's lutf. Sometimes Allah not giving you something is better for you. You know, sometimes, how often? You know, if you take your children, inshallah, for Umrah, you should keep a bag with you. Because every 30 seconds, someone's going to give them sweets. You say, yes, Jazakallah khair, the chocolates go. Yes, shukran, yes, caramel sweets, yes, thank you. Thank you very much, lollipops, shukran, Jazakallah khair. And then your children get upset. Why are you not giving me the sweets? Look at these kind people, these muhsineen, giving us lutf. And what are you doing? You're keeping all of the sweets in the bag. Sometimes I have to take away for their benefit. And sometimes I give and it will harm. This is what Allah says. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزيد له في حرثه
Whoever wants the provision of the afterlife, you're going to get maximum of that, what you are looking for.
ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها
But if you just want the stuff of this world, you'll get some of it.
وما له في الآخرة من نصيب
And you'll get nothing in the afterlife. So sometimes Allah takes things away in this life only to give us in the afterlife. Now I'm going to give you the real example. Allah's lutf and His rizq. I'm going to ask you about a child who's under the earthquake rubble in Turkey right now. Allah took away their life. Allah took away their house. Allah took away their food. They are lifeless underneath the stones. What did Allah give them? Yes, we need some diversity. Yes, Habib. Yes, please. No, diversity and inclusion. Please, Habib.
He doesn't have to put in the hardship of life.
Okay. They don't have to go through the hardship of life. Yes, Sajjad. They have the companionship of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Beautiful. But I'm talking about rizq. You're saying Allah took away their life, took away their house, but He provided them with something. What did He provide them with? He provided them with the shahada.
وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ
Don't think that those who died in the path of Allah are dead.
بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ
They are alive with Allah and He's giving them rizq.
فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ
They are happy, content with whatever Allah is giving them. You suddenly start to look at this dead child in a very different way. You don't feel sympathy, you start to feel jealousy. You don't feel just sadness, you start to feel happiness. Because Allah didn't just take away from them their life, and their house, and their electricity. Allah is providing them with food that you cannot even imagine. The kind of food, even if you went, drove up and down Wimslow Road all day, you wouldn't find this kind of rizq. It is the rizq that only comes from Allah. The contentment that only comes from Allah. They are in the company of Allah. There's no comparison. Al-Latif teaches you that when you look at a calamity, never look at things and judge them at their cover. Never judge a book by its cover. Because if the cover is destruction, and the cover is evil, and the cover is sadness, you don't know inside the book there might be a lot of mercy and a lot of happiness and a lot of contentment. Allah has His ways, but we don't always understand His ways. And that is why He is Al-Latif Al-Khabir. Did you think that Musa's mum, Ummi Musa, alayhi as-salam, that river Nile, that long and dangerous river, one of the longest rivers in the world, with the crocodiles snapping, did anybody ever think that that dangerous river would become a red carpet for Musa alayhi salam to glide to a palace? Did anybody ever think that the palace of a tyrant, the prison, the evil and horrible place of the palace of Fir'aun would turn into a lovely nursery for a baby called Musa? Did anybody think? But it is only Al-Latif who converts the dangerous river into a red carpet, and the tyrant into a stepfather, and the horrible palace into a lovely nursery. He is the one. When you see things in an apparent manner, in the obvious manner, you lose trust in him. But when you trust in him, he shows you that what he has planned is better than what you had hoped for. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. Nobody knows the hidden beauties that Allah has kept for them. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they used to do. Did we think that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the man who lost his mother and his father and his wife and his uncle and his sons, the man who lost his family, they died in front of his eyes, did he ever think that he would gain a family that today stands at 1 billion people? Bilal al-Habashi, that Ethiopian slave, who before Islam people used to look at him like he was a scum of the earth, nothing, he was dirt, he was dust. Did he ever think that one day he would put his feet on top of the Kaaba? Suhaib al-Rumi, Bilal al-Habashi, Al-Khabbab ibn al-Arat, that man whose back and flesh was burnt with iron. Did he ever think that one day he would be of those that was promised paradise? Never underestimate the plan of Allah. Because no matter how many Excel sheets you have, and whatever your budget forecast is, and whatever the news tell you, Allah is Al-Latif Al-Khabir. And we have to trust in His lutf. Because Allah's kindness sometimes shows in ways that we don't appreciate. You know, many of us, we can appreciate that from our parents. Sometimes our parents were harsh and strict with us, but it was for our good. We only realized that a lot later on. You know, I remember one thing. My mother never allowed me to drink soft drinks. 7-Up, Coca-Cola, Fanta, Pepsi. My whole childhood. Until the age of 17, I had a sip by mistake of 7-Up. And I thought, it's ajib, strange taste. Why do people drink this stuff? And you know, today, every time I go to a shop and they give you a free drink, I have no appetite for the soft drink. I don't. At the time, as a child, I was thinking, Ya Allah, this musibah. My mother does. Everyone is drinking it like it's water. It's running in their veins like their blood. Only me. And today, all my friends who have dental problems, who have heart problems, who have excess sugar, alhamdulillah, I drink water and have no problem. Sometimes the gift is wrapped in a difficulty. Sometimes the test shows itself to you, but inside it is a blessing. And to understand this is to understand the nature of Al-Latif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, in Surah Al-Ahzab. And He says to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, وَاذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Recite or remember or teach what was recited in your homes from the verses of Allah and the wisdom. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. Allah is Latif and Khabir. This comes after a series of verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the mothers of the believers, the Prophet's wives, He gives them additional rules that other women don't have to abide by. He gives them, according to many scholars of tafsir and many of the scholars of fiqh, he gives them rules that are just for them, specifically for the mothers of believers, because they are special. They are different from any other woman. لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ He says to them, you are not like, you women are not like any other woman in this world if you fear Allah. And then he gives them some special commandments. Now when he gives special commandments, additional commandments, you might feel, oh my God, more and more commandments. But then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا Sometimes the restrictions of Allah are not restrictions, they are freedoms. They are liberties. Because they liberate you from yourself and from your ego and from your desires. But you translate it as a restriction, like me and 7-Up. I translated it as a restriction. Ah, it's tightening, it's too difficult, my life is becoming more hard. But actually, it was freeing me. It was for my benefit. And the same way, Allah talks about His Sharia, about His laws, that sometimes today, people interpret them in the wrong way. Oh, the Sharia is murder and chopping and stealing and oppression of women. But if they were really to understand it and really to give it justice, they would realize that the Sharia came from Al-Latif Al-Khabir, the one who knows the hidden secrets and the one who is so gentle to us from the restrictions. If Allah did not restrict zina, AIDS would spread throughout this earth. If Allah did not restrict everything that He restricted, we would have the breakdown of the family. And we would have people lost about what gender they are. And we people have people lost about what purpose they have in life. But the restrictions help us. They free us. They liberate us. Because they come from Al-Latif Al-Khabir. And so, to complete, a reminder to one and all of us, what is happening and what we see on the news is coming from Al-Latif Al-Khabir, the one who is most subtle and the one who is all aware. هذا وصلوا وسلموا وباركوا على من أمرتم بالصلاة والسلام عليه والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. One more reminder that after Isha there is a talk in this masjid by Sheikh Abu Usama al-Dhahabi, who has come all the way from Birmingham. So please come back after Isha. That's why I finished a little bit early. Go home, take rest, take freshen up, and come back, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.